I don't know where else to start today other than prayer, because like a lot of you that I've already talked to today, I'm unsettled, I'm disturbed, anxious about the things that have happened within the last 24 hours and the things that go on every single day. Two more mass killings for absolutely no reason, hate for no reason that we can see. And I just want to lift that up to God, and I want to invite Him in to change things, to move in us and to move in the lives that have been hurt. So if you'll join me in doing that, I would appreciate it. Lord, there's nowhere to start today other than just lifting You up. We know that You're God through all this, through the mess, through the chaos, through the pain, through the hate, through intolerance, through everything, through sin, through everything that's not of You. We lift up those that are hurting today, not just the most two recent events, but it goes on all day, every day, Lord. It's a tough world. You know that. It's a fallen world. It's a world that has turned from You. And I pray that we can be the light. I pray that Your light shines through us. I pray that faith, hope, and love shine through us. I pray that we receive that from You and give it away. And I pray that everybody knows that You're going to win. You will win. I pray that people receive that sooner rather than later. I pray that we can just turn away from all this hate that we're showing each other and really, really start to love in a godlike way, love You and love others as a result. We lift that up to You today. Settle our spirits, Lord. Settle our unease. May we just come together with You today, Lord, and worship You and glorify You. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed and ultimately arrested, He spent some time before that telling His disciples again, and He had already told them this and they just weren't getting it. But He told them again, I'm not going to be with you much longer. I'm not going to be with you here on earth much longer. Like I said, He had tried a few times and it was going right over their heads. They just did not get that. So once again, in John chapter 16, He says, but now I'm going away to the One who sent me. Only this time, He adds this statement, which is on the surface confusing. It is best for you that I go away. That statement sounds just flat ridiculous to me. Think about that statement. It begs a lot of questions. How can it be best for Jesus to go away from them? How can it be best for them to lose the presence of their Savior, the Savior that they waited for, their healer, the miracle worker? They watched Him do so many miracles over the years. Jesus, why are You leaving us? After 3 years, only 3 years, we gave up our lives to follow You. We gave up our future to follow You. You are our future. Why are You leaving? Where are You going? Can we come with You? You know we've proved our love to You. Take us with You. Sometimes if leaders are removed, it creates leadership voids and opportunities for others to step up and use their leadership skills. Could that be what Jesus meant here by, it's best for you that I go away? Well, we continue reading, we understand what He means. It is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Helper won't come to you. If I do go away, then I will send Him to you. Now, different translations have also added or changed Helper to describe the Helper in different ways. Helper, Advocate, Encourager, Comforter, Counselor. Whatever you do, do not miss this. Jesus leaving this earth was good for us. I know that sounds insane to say, but Jesus leaving this earth was good for them, and it was good for us. How can that be? How could Jesus coming to earth and then leaving be good for us? Well, it's good for us because his coming to earth tore down the barrier between us and God, and his leaving earth gave us the Holy Spirit in us. God now lives in us. I'll repeat that. God now lives inside of us. We carry on our study of Galatians today, chapter 5, and in it we will see what the concept of the Spirit living is all about. So to recap what we've talked about the last 4 weeks, Galatians 1 through 4, first of all, Andy and I are having a blast leading this series. It's Andy's favorite book of the Bible, and it's quickly becoming one of my favorites because it's just awesome. It frees us up in so many ways, and we hope that you have taken what is taught here and applied it. And I hope that you're outside of Sundays that you're going through Galatians on your own, because there's so much in it and so much to gather from it. But we see in Galatians, as a reminder, freedom from the law that they were under before, freedom from good works trying to save them, freedom from rules and barriers trying to save them, and freedom from trying to earn God's grace and favor, which is impossible, but just freedom from the attempt to do so. Grace entered the picture. Salvation entered the picture in the form of Jesus, as recounted here in Galatians. And then God's promise to Jews and Gentiles enter the picture. Not only are the Jews the chosen people, not only do the Jews get to receive Jesus and the salvation that he brought us and Holy Spirit that lives inside of you now, but everybody does. Gentiles get to you. Everybody who is not a Jew is a Gentile. Everybody now has access to God. The barrier is completely gone. True freedom from the law and everything that constricts, from works-based faith, from works-based favor, freedom from all of it. At that point in Galatians, we see faith enter, expressing itself as love, which is the thing. It's the one thing that separates us. That is the thing that makes us as believers different. Faith expressing itself as love. Love for God and love for other people. And now in chapter 5, we enter into Holy Spirit living in us. It's my belief that we have messed up the very reality of the Holy Spirit living in us. Look around your communities today and make an honest assessment of Holy Spirit living. We may like what we see. We may not like what we see. When we consider how many people identify as believers, or what we're seeing, or what we see is what we see, really Holy Spirit living? Is that what we see in our communities, in our churches, in our schools? Is that actually taking place? It's my belief that we have so messed this up. I've messed this up. But why is that? Could it be just a matter of terminology? Holy Spirit, the Spirit sounds odd. Sounds almost foreign to us. I know it does to me. Most of us don't like spirits. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you like spirits. That'd be kind of creepy. But most of us don't like spirits. They're weird. They're spooky. They're even kind of mystical. And have you ever thought about telling somebody that the Spirit lives inside of you? Try explaining that to a non-believer. Why do you act the way you do? Well, I got a spirit living inside of me. That's weird. They'll think you're weird. Or, God forbid, they'll think you're even weirder than they already think you are. Could it be just a lack of knowledge? So I grew up in a heavily Christian setting. I grew up in a Christian family with Christian parents, Christian extended family, Christian school, church every Sunday, church activities all throughout the week. It was awesome. It's a great way to grow up. But even with that background of the Trinity of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the one who received by far the least amount of my attention, my focus, my study, my understanding was the Holy Spirit. Could it be just a case of intimidation where we may be just intimidated by a concept that we don't understand? I know I've felt this. My guess is that maybe you have too. God not only lives in heaven, but he lives in us? How could that be? What is that all about? That's really, really hard to understand. So it clearly shouldn't be this way that believers feel this, and it wasn't intended to be that way. We know that because Jesus made the statement, "Me going away will be the best thing for you, because now you will have this Holy Spirit in you." Translation of what Jesus said there, the only thing better than God living with us is God living in us. So they got the privilege of Jesus living, God living in human form, Jesus living with them. Jesus is now saying the only thing better than that is God living in you, spirit form. So let's get into Galatians 5 and see what this spirit living thing is all about. And together we can kind of break it down, hopefully to its most simple form, and see what a spirit-filled life looks like. We're going to start in Galatians 5, verse 1. That's a great place to start. And once again, we see Paul getting right to the point, just like he always does. So Jesus has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. We're going to skip a few verses down to 13, and we see what true freedom should look like in our lives. Freedom used to glorify God, which is our ultimate purpose of existing, to glorify God in everything we do. Galatians 5:13. You have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to, what's that word, say it all together, serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. The church members in Galatia needed this reminder. We need this reminder to not destroy each other, to serve one another in love, to love your neighbor as yourself. Don't use this newfound freedom from the law to satisfy sinful pleasures and practices, knowing that God is the God of grace. God is the God of grace. God is grace. But we are not to use this freedom for our selfish advantage. Rather, we should use grace and freedom that we're given for what? To serve. Serve one another in love. So many of you do that so well. Some of you need to be challenged by that today. That's what Paul does for us in Galatians. Serving one another in love. Paul ends this reminder with a warning. Watch out. Do not destroy each other. Don't tear each other down with sin, with gossip, with discouragement. But build each other up. Hold each other up in encouragement. And hold each other up in love. I believe that encouraging each other is something that we get consistently right here at LPC. We've had a couple funerals this year. And I see people coming together at these funerals, encouraging the person or the people who lost somebody. I see people serving at the funerals before, during, and after. It's a beautiful thing. I see babies being born here and meal trains provided for the parents. It's a beautiful thing. One less stress that the new parents had to worry about. It's awesome. I see people having legal troubles and people praying with them before and after church, encouraging them, telling them it's going to be okay. Court dates, Several of us have had court dates, so much encouragement before and after those. Job interviews, several people have had new job interviews, and I hear so many words of encouragement and love around those. Career changes, so much encouragement around that. Speaking of career change, I want to tell you all that Wednesday is going to be my last day at Chili's after 6.5 years. And I'm excited to announce that I am going to get to be the food service director at Youspiritus. And most of you that are familiar with Youspiritus know that Andy used to be a director there. And how ironic is it that I'm going to be working there and he's not, which is really, really weird. But the opportunity just came and wasn't really, really looking for it. But it presented itself, and it is going to be a move that helps our family so much due to better hours, no nights and no weekends. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to have more time to do life with the church. We're going to have more time to serve here, serve one another, love one another, right? Like the book of John. And it's going to be awesome. So I'm appreciative of everybody who encouraged me during that process, who loved me during that process. My wife is a big support. Andy's been a huge support, and I really, really appreciate that. I wanted to be the first to tell you all that. Even down to simple things, like one time I saw a lady say to another lady, this is several months back, right here in church, "I love the scarf you're wearing." She said, "Okay, here, I want you to have it." Dead serious. She gave her the scarf. That is awesome. That's encouragement. And that's love. That's building each other up. One fresh new way that we have to encourage and love each other here is our monthly prayer meetings. And we just had a prayer meeting on Thursday. And meeting is probably a bad word for it. It's not really a meeting. It's just come in and pray. And we're going to do that. I believe it's the first Thursday of every month. Andy will correct me if I'm wrong on that. But mark your calendars, first Thursday of every month. And it's just a time we have the chapel open. And you can come in and pray. You can pray with your family. You can pray by yourself. There's pastors and leaders here if you want to be prayed over by somebody. But it's just an incredible time of community. And it's an incredible time to build each other up, to love each other, and encourage each other. And I encourage you to take advantage of that. Back to Galatians 5:16. "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. Don't miss that part. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. There's a constant war inside each of us. Good versus evil, light versus darkness, spirit living versus sinful living. And Paul tells us in Galatians, that's a constant battle. Notice what he didn't say. Notice that he didn't say, if you've already invited the Spirit in, then all that disappears. He said the battle is constant. That's why you need Holy Spirit inside of you. That's why I need Holy Spirit in me. Paul in Galatians is telling us that we need the Spirit for good to beat evil in our lives. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, is how he says it. Guiding your lives. It goes back to the words that we read in John 16 when we got started that describes what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. Let the Holy Spirit help, guide, encourage, comfort, counsel, advocate. Who doesn't need an advocate in their lives? Everybody needs an advocate. Galatians 5:19. "When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, it's one we don't think of too much, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, this is a long list, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. All are signs and symptoms of when we choose to not live with Holy Spirit. You may as well add anything else that we see on that list. Mass killings, like we just prayed for, hopelessness, despondence, anything can be added to that list. Signs and symptoms of sin, signs and symptoms of not living Spirit-filled lives. When we don't make Holy Spirit decisions, that's the kind of stuff we see in our lives, in our families, in our churches. The last part of verse 21 says, "Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God." Anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are the results of lives lived without the Holy Spirit in our lives, being our helper, our guide, and our advocate. Temporary fixes that don't last, chaos, confusion, abuse, short-term fun that leads to long-term problems, and ultimately, don't miss this, lives lived in separation from God. But how does Galatians describe this Holy Spirit living? For some of you, these words will be ultra familiar. In fact, we have these words plastered on our wall in the kids' ministry, starting with Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Who doesn't need more of those things? Who doesn't need more self-control? There is no law against these things. And of course, Paul had to get that one last jab against the law in there. Did you catch that? There is no law against these things. I have a question for you. I want you to respond on this. Why would these things be described as fruit? It's an interesting choice of words to me. Why fruit? Somebody describe fruit to me. Throw something out. Nourishing. Who else says something? Sweet. What else? Makes you full, makes you satisfied. What else? Juicy, right? It grows. So it's sweet. Fruit can be enticing because it's sweet. We like the sweetness. We want more of that. It's juicy. Fruit gives us hydration. Who can live without hydration? It grows just as we should grow, right? It survives and thrives when it grows. It survives weather, good and bad. It survives pests. Fruit does some amazing things when you eat it. It helps regulate body temperature. That's crazy that a piece of fruit can do that. Helps regulate blood sugar, which keeps your energy sustained instead of up and down. Hydration, like I already mentioned. Fruit does it all. Fruit literally does it all. Fruit, in the most literal terms, sustains our lives. Fruit helps our lives, just like we're told the Spirit does for us. I know what you're thinking. You're looking at me and saying, "You need to eat more fruit." You'd be right about that. Maybe I eat too much fruit, like I do of everything. The Spirit in our lives produces this fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are all great things. Those are all things we need more of. In preparation for this sermon, I talked to a good friend of ours named Dr. Gray, Dr. Camille Gray, and I talked to her because she exemplifies somebody who lives with the fruit of the Spirit just pouring out of them. So I wanted to get her thoughts on what exactly a Spirit-filled life looks like in her mind because of the evidence that I see, the evidence that we see in her life. So from that conversation, I developed some quick identifiers that may help us as we seek to live Spirit-filled lives. Number one, Holy Spirit living is relational, not transactional. Holy Spirit living requires us to have a relationship with God and a relationship with the Spirit who lives inside of us, because we have to invite the Spirit in, and we have to invite the Spirit to stay, and we have to follow His promptings, follow the promptings of the Spirit. We have to give decisions to the Spirit, give decisions to God, and follow His lead. That's relational. We have to communicate with Him, talk to Him, pray to Him. We have to have faith that He exists. That's relational. We have to serve others in love as a result. That's relational. Number two, being guided by the Holy Spirit is more than a one-time decision. Being guided by the Holy Spirit is more than a one-time decision. Can't stress that enough. Sometimes it could be daily. Sometimes it could be minute by minute, second by second. Sometimes it could be situational. Sometimes it could be conversational. Sometimes it can be reactionary. But being guided by the Holy Spirit is a constant process, one in which you need to relinquish your will and give that to the Spirit, for the Spirit to guide our actions and our reactions and our decisions. Number three, Holy Spirit living requires that we continually die to ourselves. The old phrase, not my will but yours, not my will but yours be done, God. Die to our selfishness. Die to being right. Die to our comfort. Die to blaming others for our issues and our problems. We must die to ourselves daily, minute by minute. Galatians 5, 24, and 25. Those who belong to Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Your sin is nailed to the cross when you invite the Spirit in, and you kill your sins. You crucify them there where Jesus was crucified for us. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Every part of our lives. The Holy Spirit is available to us. God in spirit form is now available to us to live inside of us. God can live inside of us. He is willing, available, and ready to guide us, to help us, to encourage us, and to advocate for us. That's incredible. That takes our issues away. That takes our problems away. Simply put, God is ready to live inside of you. Or for some of you, God is ready to live more abundantly or more outwardly inside of you. God is ready to do that more abundantly than our wildest dreams. I encourage you to do that today, and I want you to ponder this question. Will you let Him in? Will you invite Him in? Will you pray with me? Lord, I pray that we can be a group of believers that are Spirit-led, Spirit-guided, Spirit-helped, Spirit encouraged, that we are known for you, for your Spirit living inside of us. Not for us, not for what we do, but for what you do through us. I pray that we get this right. I pray that Galatians 5 and Spirit living comes alive in us, through us, in every facet, every part of our lives, Lord. It's hard to look around and see the things that we see and stay encouraged, but the Spirit is our encouragement. The Spirit is our helper. The Spirit is our advocate. He can take all that away. He can right wrongs. He can clean up the past. He can make the past bearable. He can guide your decisions if you allow him to do so. He can guide every single step of our lives. All we got to do is invite him in. Maybe you've done that before. All you have to do is invite him in again. Maybe he's already in you and you're not giving him full control. You can do that today. Simple conversation. Holy Spirit is relational. We must be relational to accept God, to accept the Holy Spirit. I encourage you to do so today. Lord, we're so thankful for reminders like you give us in Galatians 5. Even those of us that have been in church our whole lives, we need this. We need correction. We need reminders that, man, maybe we're not tapping into the full power of what God has given us here. Maybe we don't have all the answers. Maybe the answers are in God. Maybe the answers are in God living inside of us. Maybe it was for the best that Jesus left this earth but gave us the Spirit in the process. Such a hard concept, but it's right there in your word in John 16. Pray that you can help us understand what true Spirit living is all about. That it's not weird, that it's awesome, that it's abundant, that it's full, that it's joyful, that it's peaceful, that it leads to self-control, that it leads to greater faith. Who doesn't want more faith in you? That's available. That's so available. If you invite him in, or invite him to have a larger presence in your life. Lord, there's prayers going up to you. There's decisions that are being made. There's people who are inviting you in or re-inviting you in. And I pray that you honor those decisions today, like you said you would in John 16, in Galatians 5, like you said you would when you sent Jesus to the cross, like you said you would when Jesus came to earth, and like Jesus said he would when he left and said, I'm sending you someone who is better than me, someone who will live inside of you and not just beside you. I pray that we embrace that, Lord. I pray that we can do that today as a church, and that we can ultimately know and show what Spirit living is all about. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Ever known, of all will. treasures of the earth. There's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone. You live to die, rejected and alone like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me.
We have the privilege of today being a communion Sunday. And communion is simply remembering what God and Jesus did for us, the sacrifice they made for us, and not just looking back, but looking back to look forward. What they did for us, we look back, and then we look forward to express that love. Faith expressed as love to God and to others. And that's what we celebrate today while we take communion. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 11, starting with verse 23. Listen to these words. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took some bread. He gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself." All right, so I fully acknowledge that that's not a touchy-feely communion verse. And that's usually not what we use. But I feel like it's appropriate today as we examine ourselves, just like 1 Corinthians 11 prompts us to do, are we really living with Holy Spirit? The answer might be yes. There's going to be a lot of yeses in here. There's going to be some no's. Or there's going to be some, well, maybe somewhat, but I need to relinquish some control when I examine that. And that's what I think we should use this time to do, this communion time. Just examine yourselves, your relationship with God, and your relationship with Holy Spirit. What's Holy Spirit living to you? What does God say it is to you? And what's that look like in your lives? What's God wanting you to give control up of? Is God wanting you to be more relational with him? Is God wanting you to re-invite the Holy Spirit back in? Just examine that in your lives today. I encourage you to do so as we take communion together. We'll go ahead and start. First rows, go ahead and come up and take communion, and then the others just follow. And we'll take communion as a church. And when we get done, I will pray over it, and then we're going to have an awesome day after that. Y'all go ahead and come on up. If you want to take this time to pray, do so. I will be up here if you need prayer with somebody. We have plenty of leaders that are willing and available to help pray with you if you'd like to do so. Just take this time to examine yourself and your relationship with God and Holy Spirit.
I'm above all power, above all king, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders this world has ever known, above all treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're. Oh, crucified, lay behind a stone, live to die, rejected.
You thought of me above all. I love it. Awesome line. The guys are in the back, and they're going to come forward and pass baskets. And this is our opportunity to continue worshiping God through our tithes and offerings. And there's plenty of easy ways that you can do so. And you all know how to do it. So I'm not going to recite the ways, but the baskets are going to be passed. This is also an opportunity to drop your connection card if you're a new person here to LifePoint, or if you just want to communicate something to the leaders or something you need prayer for, just write it on that card, drop it in the basket, and we'd love to communicate with you that way. Andy is back next week to wrap up Galatians, and he is excited to do so. Like I said, it's his favorite book of the Bible, and he is going to end it on a high note. Galatians 6, that is going to be awesome. I forgot to ask Tyler if we have any announcements. If we do, he's going to scroll them, and you are perfectly capable of reading. Potluck! Yeah, next Sunday. All right. Yeah. So we do community meal the second Sunday of every month in the chapel right after service, if you're not aware of that. And it's just a time for us to get together and eat. We love eating. I love eating. And just spend some time together. So it's going to be awesome. Plan on doing that and bring something with you next week. I appreciate all of y'all being here, and I pray that Galatians 5 really sticks with you. Study it this week. Read through it again this week. And together, let's become people who are spirit-filled. We can do that together. And our church can, people can look at LifePoint Church and say, that is a spirit-filled church. And that's all we need, right? Let's encourage each other to do that. Let's build each other up to do that. And let's serve each other to do that. And let's get that started this week, Galatians 5. I hope it sticks with you. I appreciate you all being here. I love each and every one of you. We're going to see you next Sunday.
All right, church, let's rise. We're going to sing Amazing Grace. My chains are gone. We'll start on 'Twas Grace That Taught My Heart. Here we go.
We'll see you here next Sunday.
If you got pain, he's a pain taker.